It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Hour number two, we'll see us go around the NFL coming up in 25 minutes. Then it will be time to pick every game, give you the latest updates and analysis. 6 o'clock, we'll pick the players we think are most important to Commanders and Steelers. And then it is a Wizards game day, so Dave Johnson will join us at 6:30. Right now, though, it is time for Not My Beat. Joining us today, great friend of the show. You've heard her on our NFL Combine roundtables, and whenever there's Steelers news, you know we give her a call. It's ESPN's Brooke Pryor. Brooke, thank you for your time, ma'am. Appreciate it. I know it's a busy day.
Oh, of course. There's nothing else I'd rather do.
Well, I mean, this show is a good time, so I totally understand that. So the Steelers, sitting at 6-2, are preparing for somehow the 7-2 Commanders, and they are preparing for a rookie quarterback who is playing unlike any rookie, arguably, that we've ever seen. How are the Steelers preparing this week for Jaden Daniels?
Well, as it turns out, they have a weapon on their own roster who I think simulates Jaden Daniels pretty well, and that's Justin Fields. And he has been giving the defense a look this week. He's been running some of the scout team stuff, is what TJ Watt told us earlier today. So it isn't just, you know, an automatic win because they're going against a rookie quarterback and they have a guy in-house that gives a pretty good look at him. I think that this is definitely going to be their toughest challenge as a defense so far.
The issue with using Fields as Jaden is Justin, while an incredible athlete and can certainly give them that look, is not the accurate passer that Jaden has been this year. So did TJ or any of the DBs especially maybe talk about that element of Jaden's game and preparing for a guy who can seemingly make any throw from any platform anywhere?
Yeah, that is definitely, I think, one of the toughest things about facing Jaden. I mean, we're talking with Cam Hayward earlier this week. He's not a DB, but he said something that stuck with me, and that's that Jaden is lightning in a bottle. He just does everything so well. Mike Tomlin, I believe, said that Jaden is not playing like a rookie. And that's where Justin Fields is not the only guy giving them a look at what Jaden Daniels does. They've also been using Kyle Allen, although, of course, Kyle Allen is not the precision passer that Jaden Daniels has been so far this year. But it is hard to find a way to get that same simulation in practice. And if they had a guy in practice that could do that, he would probably be the starting quarterback. But yeah, I think that it's the combination of things, right? That not only can he make all these throws, Joey Porter Jr. wants to be the guy that's following Terry McLaurin. He's kind of made that very clear each week that he wants to be on the number one receiver. That this is going to be because he can do everything so well, that it's going to be a really big challenge for this defense.
Brooke Pryor, ESPN, with us here on the Hoffman Show, talking about the Steelers-Commanders matchup that is much of the talk of the NFL world, as it's probably the game of the weekend, although it is 1 o'clock on Sunday. A couple other games previously scheduled that the other networks thought were going to be good. We'll find out, but this is the one that's two first-place teams, and the Steelers have gotten there, obviously, with their defense. What has impressed you the most about this unit this year, one that ranks pretty well against both pass and run?
Yeah, to me, it's the timeliness of this defense. They have a really good, I'm not quite sure where it ranks, but their red zone defense has been really good. They've been good at getting timely turnovers, timely takeaways, that, you know, they'll get gashed for a big play. And it feels like in the moment, like, all right, well, here the dam's about to break. There's no way they're going to get themselves out of this situation. And that's when TJ Watt comes up with a strip sack fumble, or Beanie Bishop picks off Aaron Rodgers again. They've just been so good at making the big plays at exactly the right time. But they have just been, I think, playing really good complementary football across the board. Although, to me, the biggest concern about this defense going into this game is not only containing Jaden Daniels, but just containing the run game as a whole, because the last time that we saw this defense go out there, Tyrone Tracy with the New York Giants just tore them apart. He was, I think, had 130, 145 rushing yards. It was the first time the Steelers defense has allowed a single running back to have a 100-yard rushing game this season. But that's one of the reasons they went out and acquired Preston Smith at the deadline, to give them another outside linebacker, to give them some depth, especially with Nick Herbig continuing to kind of struggle from recovering from this hamstring injury. And Preston Smith, I think, is going to be a really key piece of the run defense. It's just about how quickly he can catch up and fit in with the Steelers scheme.
So I was going to ask about that. We know Marshon Lattimore is not going to play for Washington, their big trade line deadline acquisition. How quickly can Preston get involved? And then obviously on the offensive side, how quickly is Mike Williams going to be a part of what Pittsburgh does?
Yeah, I think that Preston Smith is going to have a bigger impact right away, mostly because they need him to. I mean, the outside linebacker depth has taken a lot of hits this year, not only with Nick Herbig and this lingering hamstring issue. Alex Highsmith was out for a little bit. He's now healthy again. DeMarvin Leal was a guy that they were depending on for depth. He is out with a, I believe it was a neck injury. I don't expect to see him maybe the rest of the season. It just feels like this defense, this defense really needs Preston Smith. They need that quality veteran depth. And he has talked about how he is familiar with playing in the Steelers scheme. That was one of the reasons he requested a trade from Green Bay, is that they moved to a defense that didn't fit his skill set as an edge rusher quite as well. And he anticipates being able to kind of catch up to speed really quickly.
Brooke Pryor from ESPN with us here on the Hoffman Show. Of course, she is their Steelers reporter. You also see her frequently on Get Up and many other of ESPN's NFL programs. So, Brooke, when you look at the Steelers offense, Najee Harris has had arguably the best three-game stretch of his career. Russell Wilson has also taken over at quarterback, which has changed the dynamic of that offense. When you watch it on tape, though, I'm like, I don't know. They're somehow putting up 30 points. They're not very efficient. They got all these 50-50 balls. How do they feel internally about their offense? And even though the point production is there, like the down-to-down execution of it all?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is an offense that is making – it's similar to the defense in that it's making the big plays at the most crucial times, but – I still, you know, in planning, when you're a reporter, you're always working ahead a couple weeks, right? You're looking ahead at the big primetime games, the big matchups, and you're trying to plan stories. And I found it difficult to plan stories in advance because I'm not quite sure what this offense is and how much it's going to be able to be sustained as they, you know, have games like teams against the Commanders and the AFC North, some really strong defenses. Because it has felt really opportunistic. It's felt like you mentioned, a lot of these 50-50 balls that right now are going in their favor, but it kind of feels like, I don't want to say it's a house of cards, because it could prove to be much stronger than that, but it's felt, I've done a lot of holding my breath watching this offense. But I will say that I don't think the run game is an aberration. I think that is something that is here to stay. This offensive line, despite all of the injuries that they've dealt with, has been really good, and Najee Harris has been really effective behind them. He has, what, 3 games of 100 yards. I think that is something that is real, that he's going to continue to build on that momentum. And by the way, looks like they're going to have Cordarrelle Patterson back, who looked like the most effective back in that one drive that he had against Indy before he went out with this ankle injury that's kept him sidelined. And Jaylen Warren is there. So they have a full complement of backs to, I think, really help Najee Harris out, although he hasn't needed it. But I really just need to see a bigger sample size from Russell Wilson. It's only been 2 games, but in those 2 games, they are at least stretching the field. That's where I also think that Mike Williams being involved, being a piece of this offense, although if you ask the coaches, they're really slow playing how much they envision using Mike Williams. I even asked Mike Tomlin what makes Mike Williams the right fit for this offense, and he said, well, I didn't say that. That remains to be seen. We don't know if he's the right fit, which, I mean, let's be honest, if you're training for a guy, you're pretty confident that he's the right fit for this offense.
That's a bold take, Mike. You traded for
it. It is. Right, but he is a big body receiver. Gives them another downfield threat opposite of George Pickens to take some of the heat off of Pickens. He's really good at catching balls in tight windows. That's something that Russell Wilson is really good at threading the balls there, at least using that moon ball to get the ball there. So I think, like, all signs are pointing to this being one of the Steelers' best offenses in the last couple of years. But again, it's been two games with Russell Wilson. There's still a lot that I think we need to see before I'm confident saying that and saying it with my chest.
Is there anything that when you watch Washington or dive into the numbers, talk to folks, that really concerns you, that where you think Washington has a potential big advantage in this game? And then flip side, is there anything that from the Pittsburgh side you're fairly confident in looking at the matchup against Washington, offensively or defensively?
Yeah, you know, I think that Washington, A, running a lot of no huddle, and B, just having the dual threat of Jayden Daniels, everything he can do. I'm a little bit concerned if I'm Pittsburgh looking at, you know, how effective can a pass rush be against a guy that has the tools that Jayden Daniels has. I mean, as good as TJ Watt has been, it's going to be really hard for him, you know, to put up the same sack numbers or get the same pressures if Jayden Daniels is able to escape the pocket and still make a big play. I think that that's just going to be a really long afternoon for the Steelers pass rushers. I do think that Pittsburgh has an advantage running the ball. I think that getting those, if they can continue to, whether it's luck or precision, accuracy, whatever it is, using the deep ball, I think should continue to free up the middle of the field, maybe keep the Commanders from loading the box against Najee Harris. To me, I think the Steelers offense has the edge against the Commanders defense, but to me, the Commanders offense with the tandem at running back, and then you add in the quarterback, to me, this is going to be a really, really tough one for the Steelers defense and their front seven.
And then last but not least, Brooke, the kicking game. Brooke Pryor is with us here from ESPN. Of course, she does the Steelers reporting, but also does some national reporting as well. And you actually did a story within the last few weeks on the kicking game, which is having a historically good year, including some of Austin Seibert. You reported on him and his tremendous accuracy since joining Washington. What did you find that you found? First of all, why'd you want to do a story on kickers? Second of all, what'd you find when you did a story on kickers?
Listen, I love the kicking game. I love special teams, and I think that they deserve a lot of credit. And I've been watching Chris Boswell for the last, 6 years since I've been in Pittsburgh, and he has gotten better and better every year. They'll trot him out. I think he attempted, I want to say, a 60-yarder, 61-yarder. Didn't make it, but, they are just letting him go out and letting it rip. And I just noticed that across the league, many kickers were having those opportunities, and a lot of them were having a lot of success with these long-range field goals. And to me, the biggest takeaway that I walked away from the reporting on this story was that it's not necessarily that kickers are better and more accurate and have longer range now. A lot of the guys I talked to have said that they've always been able to do this, but now coaches have trust in their kickers to go out there. Whereas before, they may have been, you know, conservative, trying to play the, as Mike Tomlin would say, the field position component of the game, you know, punt it away, pin them deep, rely on your defense. Now points are at such a premium that coaches are like, forget it. Let's just go out there. Let's kick the long field goal. I'm going to trust my kicker to go out there and make it happen. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But we at least want to try to put some points on the board. And to me, that was the most enlightening thing, because I went into the story reporting on it thinking okay, they're going to tell me that they have more, you know, finely tuned their weightlifting regimen, and they're, you know, working out more on which days they need to kick and figuring out how to preserve their legs for Sundays. One thing that Danny Smith, legendary Steelers special teams coach, mentioned to me is that with the new kickoff rules, some teams are not having their kickers, you know, boot it through the end zone for touchbacks the way that they used to. And that could be something that is taking some of the stress off of guys, off of their legs, giving them more power for field goals. And then one thing that Austin Seibert mentioned that has really helped him with field goals is that with the extra point being a longer attempt, it's not just a gimme the way that, you know, you go out there and maybe everything in the extra point doesn't necessarily translate to a field goal attempt the same way because it used to be so much shorter. But he was saying now, because it's a longer attempt he knows after he's, you know, taken that extra point attempt, okay, how's the ball looking? How's my approach? Does everything feel right? It's like a field goal rep, and it allows him to know how to make the adjustments to make a field goal, or say, you know, hey, I think that my range is really good today because I'm hitting a straight ball every time. So I thought that was interesting how much doing the special or doing the extra point attempts can kind of help a guy get into a flow and be more accurate when they're kicking field goals. So I love it. I love reporting on the underreported things in the NFL, which feels like there's not much of that left. I feel like NFL coverage as a whole is pretty wall to wall, floor to ceiling, you name it. But I found a little nook and cranny, and I dove into it, and it was really fun to see what's going on with the kickers.
I love that. Those are the best stories. That's when it gets really fun. The nooks, the crannies, and Brooke Pryor is one of the best at it. So good job, Brooke. Excellent. Now I missed this story, admittedly, on the timeline. I'm going to go read the kicking story now. So I'm pretty pumped about that. So thanks for giving me something to read on a Friday afternoon, either in a commercial break or after the show.
It's a little homework. Who doesn't love homework on a Friday?
Brooke, nobody loves homework. Especially on a Friday. Why did you just kill? I just gave your story this great promo, and I genuinely am excited to go read it, and then you called it Friday homework. What are we doing?
Well, you know, you've got all weekend to do it, so you don't have to rush to do it on a Friday. You can save that for Sunday night before, you know, you're in class Monday morning.
Thanks, Professor Pryor. It's Brooke Pryor, everybody, Steelers reporter for ESPN. You can check out that story and anything else from the Steelers side of things as you get ready for Sunday on ESPN.com. Brooke, always a pleasure, and see you this weekend.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. That is Brooke Pryor with us here on the Hoffman Show. Appreciate her time as always. Be good to see her in the press box at Northwest Stadium this weekend. If you want a really fun, just random thing to go watch this weekend, go back on YouTube and find the roundtable that we did, me, Brooke, and Ben Solak, who at the time was still with The Ringer and is now Brooke's colleague at ESPN. But really fun thing we did at the NFL Combine, where we talked about some of the trends in the NFL, and it was good. So go back and find that on YouTube if you want a little bit more football talk this weekend. And you can see how what we said is holding up from the NFL Combine this NFL season. When we get back, the rest of the games this NFL season, we go around the NFL next on the Team 980.